BQRST. Hello and welcome to the latest episode of PQRST. I appreciate Stitch coming along with me. I'm driving today. I know you shouldn't text while drive. I heard a news report about somebody yesterday reading while they were driving. Well, I'm recording a podcast while I drive. Hands are on the wheel, eyes are on the road. So, believe me, I'm being safe. All I have to do is think, and I can do that while I drive, hopefully. But anyway, appreciate Stitch coming along for the drive. He was excited to come deliver school DVDs with me and stick his head out the window. And don't stick your head so far. If you fall out, I'm not picking you up. Whew, I didn't know he knew that gesture. Anyway, so, recording while driving because I need to use my time wisely these days. We got a newborn at home, as regular listeners know, and he's a little over 2 weeks old. He's doing fantastic, but I need to kind of multitask. And so if I can record a podcast while I'm doing driving that I would have done anyway, then I have saved myself a little bit of time. So, yeah, for the record, Isaac is doing just fabulously. Why don't I put the ends on words? Fabulously, he had a two-week appointment yesterday, and he has gained back the weight he lost at birth, and plus an ounce or two beyond that, just about 8 pounds. And he's a little over 20 inches long, and his head circumference is in the 90th percentile, because my wife's family, let's just face it, they have big heads. So, Isaac as well, and we had some trouble, not last night, but the previous two nights, with Captain Fussy Pants. And it got a little frustrating, not going to lie, but we got the huge, wonderful resource. If you're having a child, if you know anyone who's had a child, if you've ever been a child, the Happiest Baby on the Block DVD. It's pretty simple. It's like 35 minutes long. You probably could find it on YouTube, but whatever you need to do, get that resource, because, oh my goodness, there's five S's in terms of getting a child to, a baby, an infant, a newborn, to not be fussy. The five S's, the swaddling. And we had some swaddling practice, but we weren't, I'll speak for myself, I was not doing it to the level that I could have been, and I'm doing it now, really, really swaddling like a ninja now. There's swaddling, there is side or stomach, a specific way to hold the child, which looks a little weird, but apparently the newborn really loves. There is shushing, where you go right up to the ear and shh, at least as loud as the baby is crying, and it seems like a rude thing to do, like even abusive, but it soothes the baby and apparently replicates the noise of the uterus. So, who knew? So there's swaddling and being on the side. There's shushing. There's swinging or joggling, not shaking. Never shake a baby, but you can joggle the baby or put the baby in a swing. Get some motion involved. And then the fifth S, I think, is salami. But anyway, there's a fifth S. And you can look that up for yourself if you have a newborn. Seriously, fantastic resource. And now that we are swaddling better and shushing... Ah, the fifth S is sucking. I'll just let you know what it is. The end of a finger in the child's mouth or a pacifier, something for them to... just to soothe themselves. It really works. And the guy in the video said most newborn parents think their baby has gas all the time. Well, it's not... pretty much not ever gas when you think it is. It's just the child freaking out that they're not in the womb anymore. And so the more you can replicate the way the womb was, the better off everybody is. And so we've been working on that, a womb with a view, as it were. And hopefully, partially because of these techniques, Isaac, wow, he, I don't want to brag because it really wasn't all that much to do with me, but he fed it. 9 o'clock, at midnight, and at about 3:30, and in between, my wife and I got about 3 hours of sleep each time, which, as parents of a two-week-old, that is fantastic, let me tell you. So, I say all that to say Isaac is wonderful, he's beautiful, he is a blessing, and I love him, and someday he's going to hear this, so hey, buddy, it's a shout-out from the past. How are you doing there in the future? You don't need to write back. Just come over and tell me wherever I am. So, comedy, that's right. This podcast is supposedly about comedy. I have been working on some, because my comedy radar is always on, and nothing like having a pregnant wife or a wife in labor or a newborn baby to come up with things that are funny. And I've been writing those things down. My wife's parents were just in town with us for a couple weeks, and there was some comedy there, which I gotta be gentle and careful about that, because I don't want to make fun of people except maybe myself and possibly my wife. I don't want to make fun of my wife's parents, so, and, you know, there's nothing to be made fun of. Will not, Chris? You were amazing people, and we loved having you. But just, you know, that many people plus a newborn in the house together lends itself to some humor, and we'll work on finding out what that humor can be. But I haven't done anything on stage since October, so 3 months and counting. It's going to be almost four, and that's if I take advantage of the opportunity I believe I have next week. There is a coffee shop that I've mentioned in the past that has an open mic once a month, and coffee shop open mics are a little more forgiving, I want to say. Again, this is something I've spoken on before. It's a musical open mic where someone coming up to do spoken word or stand-up is fine, but it's mainly for music. And so what you don't get are a bunch of comedians, God bless us, sitting there not paying attention or possibly worse, heckling. And you also don't get a bunch of people expecting, like, dirty material. With a musical open mic, you kind of expect clean stuff. And this is a musical open mic at a Christian coffee shop, so even better. So showing up with a brand new, clean set, it's about as forgiving an atmosphere as one could have. And given that I haven't performed in almost 4 months, I will take it. So the current plan is to be at the coffee shop next Friday, if they're having an open mic. Sounds like my wife and infant son will even come to see me and cheer me on, and do 6 to 10 minutes. And I have 6 to 10 minutes. It's rough at the moment. I've written it, and now I'm working on memorizing it and polishing during the memorization process. Usually things get a little tighter. But 6 minutes on pregnant women and the birthing process, and then 4 minutes on the one thing I know that turns women on. I segue from birth into that by saying, you know, it's amazing that I have a kid because I really have no game, which is true, no game whatsoever. Never have understood the rules of this whole, the whole dating thing. But there's one thing I have, one thing I do know how to do. And what you want to do, guys, I'll tell you the secret. You go out and you rent a bunch of Ewan McGregor movies. Netflix, Redbox, whatever you need to do. Get them off eBay. And they're not for the woman. They're for you. You watch them over and over and over again until you get to the point where you can talk like this. Because there's something about being able to talk like this that just does it for women. And it's worked in too many relationships to be just a coincidence. And I go on from there. And so I don't think this is going to be a long podcast today, but I wanted to talk a bit about my writing process. While Tiffany was pregnant, I just made notes. I will take a voice memo into my phone, or if it's a situation where it's really not advisable to be speaking into your phone, like, say, the delivery room, I'll write a note down quickly, and then put it in the voice memos later, and all of it ends up in a file on my computer where I have all my comedy. But I'll just write down either a thought, like, hey, pregnant women sure need to pee a lot, or an incident, such as, I don't know, hey, Isaac spit up on his Peyton Manning jersey, which he has not done, and I hope he won't. But anyway, just something that strikes me as funny, or that's like, this was funny, I could make this funny, there's humor in this. You know, when you pay attention to the world of comedy, these things just, you know, kind of jump out at you, and you try to catch them, stuff them in a bag. And then, now that I have a whole bunch of pregnancy jokes in that bag, then I stitch them together into a set. And the analogy's breaking down, but what do you want? I'm driving. I stitch those jokes together into a set. So right now, I have, like I say, about 6 minutes with pregnancy and birth. I start off that my wife and I just recently had a kid, and that she was the one who got all the attention while she was pregnant, which didn't seem fair to me, because I had a hand in this. Well, not a hand, exactly, but then I go on to talk about how pregnant women make noises that nobody really talks about, the snoring and the burping, and my wife has said that she's cool with me making jokes about that. She's very secure in who she is, and I say a lot of nice things about her, and most of the joking is about about pregnancy itself, about the birthing video, not a lot about her, but she's been very gracious to let me tease her a bit.
about how pregnant women with the burping and the snoring, I think she has a future in the trucking industry, frankly. And the peeing. And this is nothing against my wife. This is just pregnancy, but they don't talk about much about how you have to pee all the time. So any sitcom where a girl is supposedly pregnant and she's on screen for more than like 3 minutes, she's not really pregnant. There's no way, because she would have to pee in that time. I swear, there was one time where my wife was in the bathroom in the midst of using the facilities, and she still needed to pee somehow. I could hear her through the bathroom door. What are you doing to me? Hopefully she was talking to the baby. And then, speaking of peeing, once the fetus attains a certain age and needs to expel urine, guess where they do it? That's right, right in the uterus. There's a subject you haven't seen on a sitcom. And I have a Home Improvement joke about that, but I'll save it for the actual set because I'm not sure it'll work in a strictly auditory medium. And then I go on from there to, let's see what comes after in the set. I'm trying to remember my set list, so this is good for me for as a memory exercise. So after the woman peeing during pregnancy and the child peeing during pregnancy, what was next? Oh, right, the birthing video. Yeah, I got a lot of material out of the birthing video. I mean, they said we wouldn't sleep after the kid was born. I haven't slept since I saw that video. Oh my goodness, you got to see the women in that video in far more personal a way than anybody ever should have, except maybe their doctors, and possibly not even them. But I feel bad, as someone who makes videos for a living, I feel bad for the camera guys. I watched the credits, and there were three men, Steve, Adam, and Bradley, I'm assuming they're men, featured in the credits for the pregnancy video, and whatever they were paid, it was not enough. And two, as a videographer, I could just imagine, hey, could we try that crowning thing again? Baby's head was out of focus. No? But, yeah. And you don't get the smell of a delivery room in the video. Again, camera guys, God bless you for going through that. Plus, what do the people that write the scripts for these video have against breakfast? So when the cervix is fully dilated, it will be 6 centimeters, roughly the size of a bagel. Actually, I guess it's 10 centimeters. Already I'm forgetting. Roughly the size of a bagel. That's the important part. And when the child comes out, it's quite possible that he'll be covered in vernix, a substance not unlike cream cheese. All right, who's up for Einstein Brothers? Yeah, the pregnancy video, and they have what do they have against breakfast? Now, the child comes out, as is the case with mine, within a minute, they are administering a test to the child, an Apgar test. Seriously, he's a minute old and already he has to pass a test? What are we, Japanese? That's another of the jokes. Let's see, what else comes after that? The added benefit of me recording the way I want to do the set is now there's a recording of these jokes. So if, you know, comes along a couple months from now, I hear someone else doing them, I can say, hey, guess who had those first? I really don't think it's going to be a huge problem. And if somebody did it, I don't really know how much I could do to say, hey, you shouldn't do my jokes, but it's nice to have them recorded. The pregnancy video and then the Apgar test. Oh, yes. And then meconium. I'll ask the audience, anyone in here, you know, have a newborn? Anyone remember being pregnant? Yes, so meconium, the name they've given to the first number two the baby does after he comes out of the woman's body. And suffice to say, I had no idea where, now I know where Rotar comes from. They just save baby's meconium, and then they put it down, and it becomes asphalt. So my wife can become a trucker, and my kid has a future with the Department of Public Works. And then, just in case you thought all the grossness was over, so little Conehead has been born, and he's having his first feed, and his arms are flailing wildly around, and then suddenly the placenta arrives. It's like, hey, did you forget about me? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Yeah, placenta, really gross. I mean, the baby is covered in gross, but it's still your baby, so you love it. The placenta, that's just nothing but gross. And for my money, it needs to be thrown away. And I don't mean in a trash can, I mean out the nearest window. But I swear I'm not making this up. Our birthing class instructor said, well, you know, some women seem to feel that the placenta is an excellent source of nutrients. That's right. Some women take the placenta and they consume it. And I don't know what's worse, the ones that are making placenta smoothies or the ones that want to take it home. What are you doing with the placenta? You're having it bronzed? So here's the baby's booties, and oh, look, this was inside me. Ugh. But anyway, birth, while not beautiful, is magical. And once they wipe off the cream cheese and the cervix is bageled, and I'll do those in reverse order because it's funnier, and the baby is feeding, everything really is wonderful. But seriously, take little Conehead home. We got more people coming in here. That right now, ladies and gentlemen, is the set, the 6 minutes on pregnancy and birthing, to be followed by 3 or 4 minutes on accents. And so, yeah, that's the set as written. And the reason why I'm bothering to tell you about all this on the podcast is, A, because I needed something to talk about while I drove, but two, this is going, hopefully, to become anatomy of a set list or diary of writing a set list, because here's the thing about comedy. While I think that all of the jokes I just told on this podcast, all the ones that are in that 6 minute set, are funny, chances are very, very good that they aren't, actually. Some of them may only really be funny to me. Some of them may only be funny if you were there, you know, to me and my wife. Some of them just may not, I may not be able to translate them onto an audience, into an audience's hands. And that's why you do open mics, as I've talked about before, because you don't really know what's funny until an audience has gotten to hear it. And even though I know that the audience that listens to this podcast will hear it, it's still not the same as a live, interactive, give me immediate feedback. So, next Friday night, I will be performing this, hopefully, at the open mic. And then I can, on Saturday, I'll record the performance. On Saturday, I can play that for this podcast, and I can critique it. I can say, hey, so, right off the bat, this was working, this wasn't working. And I've heard comics that know far more than I say that you got to do jokes 40, 50, 60, 100 times before you really know if they work or not. But I feel like even after just one performance, I can get better. There may be some jokes where it's like, you know, I'm not going to throw that away, but let's take it out for right now. Keep it off to the side and put it back in if ever we need, you know, 15 minutes on pregnancy for some reason. But just swapping things out, changing the cadence, changing the order. With my Superman set, I probably talked about this the night I shook Dave Chappelle's hand. The Monday night show to the Tuesday night show, I did Superman. That was an open mic Monday, and then Tuesday night was Comedy Works. Did Superman both times, and between the two, after the open mic, I was able to swap a couple things, just the way that I was doing the joke, and it worked a lot better. And if you listen to the show from the Lakewood Cultural Center in October, that's still the way that I'm doing those jokes, and they're working better than they were initially. So, yeah, now you have heard the first stage of the set writing, and we will see how it goes next Friday night. I am calling in to Comedy Works, and sooner or later there will be my next 3 minute chance there, and I'm really hoping, it's sort of the goal I've set, to try to get on the B list by the end of the year. And I don't know how much of that is in my hands, but it's my choice what jokes I get up and tell, just like it's my choice to keep calling in. And as I've said, this year I'm doing the same 3 to 5 minutes, the same material, same stuff, make it as good as I can over and over and over. Though the powers that be, Deacon Gray and others, have seen that I have different material, because if I've gotten up 7 times, I've done 7 different sets. Now I want to show them, okay, I can do the same material, and I can make that same material better. I can really punch it up, I can get it really smooth, really polished, and it can be good. So there's also apparently going to be a clean contest, so as well as a couple Tuesday night opportunities, hopefully the clean, and then also the New Faces contest. Somewhere between 4 and 6 chances to get on stage at Comedy Works in 2016 and show them the same 3 to 5 minutes. And I don't know. If I'm not ready, I'm not ready. But I feel like maybe I could be. So that's what's going on, and that is enough for now, I think. I'm just about at the first school, and so I think I'll let you go. I do have a parody song. This parody song is actually pulled from a performance long ago, the first time that I did comedy at the coffee shop, where I'm actually going to be doing open mic next week. And it's not only appropriate because of that, it's also appropriate because it's a song about driving and drivers. It's a parody of the Police song, Don't Stand So Close to Me. So, here you go, and catch you in a minute.
Teenager on cell phone, painting a finger. Young lawyer, Blackberry, checking his ticket sale. I just wanted to take a quiet Sunday ride. Now I'm risking my life, southbound I-25. Don't drive so close to me. This one guy, so close now, almost in my backseat. Looking back, I can see the spinach in his teeth. Spelling in Italian, don't know what those words mean. He roars by, still yelling, looking like Charlie Sheen. Don't drive so close to me. Don't drive so close to me. Loose wheel on the trailer of a passing semi. If it comes through my windshield, you know I'm gonna die. It's no use, he can't see me, though I'm flashing my lights. He just keeps on driving, this freeway really bites. Don't drive so close to me. Please don't drive so close to me. I said, please don't drive so close to me. Close to me.
So that's that parody song. Thank you so much for tuning into the podcast this week. I hope you are having a fantastic 2016. Don't worry about having broken your resolutions. We all have by now. But do one thing for me. Do me a favor and own your stage. All right? I'm doing my best to own mine. That way, both of us are owning our stages. All right. I'll concentrate on the road, and I will see you sometime.